Okay, so this is ATM lesson number 139. We are still on February 8th, 2003. Touching the floor with the hands, part one. I have no idea why it's called that, but we'll find out. So just take a moment to check in with yourself. And notice now after the morning and having lunch how you're lying on your back. Begin to sense your skeleton, the weight of each shoulder blade. What is your lower back like now? How are your legs lying on the floor? And check in with your breathing, the four parts of your breath. And now roll to your side and come up to sitting. Sit with your legs long, sticking straight out in front of you, spread comfortably apart. And you're going to lean on your hands behind you. And now there's a couple ways to lean on your hands. So one way is to have the fingers pointed behind you. And you'll notice if you do that, that will lock your elbows. Another way is your fingers can be pointed to the sides. That also kind of locks your elbows. Or your fingers can be pointed somewhat forward, which gives you room to bend the elbows. And begin to do a movement now so that your fingers are forward, somewhat forward, okay, as much as you can handle or tolerate, so that you can round yourself back, round the pelvis, soften the chest, and then push the belly forward, bring the chest forward, and sit up tall. That's it. So this is what we finished with right before lunch, right? But we did it on a chair. And now you're doing it on the floor. So again, spread your knees comfortably. Let the knees bend. That's it if they need to. Round back. And then as you come forward, really try to push the belly forward. Bring yourself forward so you get more on the sit bones. So some of you stay leaning back and just push the belly out. You don't need to be on your hands anymore when you come forward. That's better, Linda. That's it, Jean, but spread your knees wider. Give yourself some room for your belly to come forward. That's it, Janice. Does that make sense? You tired already? So round, come forward, grow tall. So think of it when you come forward, your head comes right over your pelvis. That's better, Danielle. You don't want to lean too far forward. Remember, anything that we do extreme takes extra work. That's better. Good. Okay, and rest on your back. How's the temperature? It's okay in here, yeah? I think it's just perfect. Thanks, Alan. Okay, so now roll to your side and come up to sitting. Your knees will be bent in front of you, so your feet are standing on the floor. And with your right knee, you're going to hug around your right leg. So you're going to come underneath the leg, and you want to hug so much that your right hand holds your left elbow, and your left hand holds your right elbow. That's it. so you hug. Really pull your chest very close to your knee, as close as you can. That's it. Okay. And with your left leg, you can allow the left leg to stay bent or can be straightened or out to the side. I'll let you explore where it's comfortable to have the left leg. Now with your right leg, you're going to pivot on your foot so that you're just on the heel, your right heel. That's it. Lift the toes. And you're going to begin to do a movement of starting to slide your right heel away from you. However, there's a constraint. And the constraint is that you need to keep your chest and your whole self as close to that knee as possible. So whenever you start to separate your upper body from the knee, you stop. So you only can slide the heel as much as your whole trunk goes with the movement. Because now what you're going to feel is that you're going to pivot inside the hip joint. So we're back to learning about how to pivot over the hip joint. And there should be absolutely no work in the spine. That's it. Is that clear? Good. Now continue to do the same movement and go ahead and explore the couple options with your left leg. So some of you have the left leg long. Some of you have bent it out to the side. And really the idea is what will allow you, once again, to expose your sit bone behind you. So if you truly pivot the maximum amount that you can inside the right hip joint, the right cheek, the right sit bone will start to jet out. Your weight will come off of it. But see, most of us, when we sit down and do traditional stretching, is we're sitting on the insertions of the muscles that we want to elongate. So that's why it doesn't work. So you have to get off of that area. So the sit bone actually has to expose itself behind for the hamstrings to ever be able to lengthen. Just be a duck. So right now, if you're like this and you bend forward, it's all going to be about your back. So you're hugging your leg and just think you're pivoting in the hip joint. You pivot, pivot, pivot. You pivot, 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 pivot. Sit bone will come exposed. Sit bone. Most of you stay tucked under back here. And you don't bend, you bend fully over the hip joint. Sit bone will come up. That is where you get your length in your back. Okay? Whatever you want to do. Right now, don't worry about that. The purpose of this is that if you learn how to have the maximum amount of mobility in the hip joint, you can then learn how to free up the hamstrings, the hip flexors, the glutes, all the muscles that connect into the pelvis and the leg ride on your availability around this joint. As long as this joint is constricted, so will all those muscle groups. Right. When you're aware of that and it's free in there, then you won't have tight hamstrings. Yes, Kathy. Fine. It's okay for right now. Just stick with the movement. We'll get then keep your legs straight in front of you. Keep your legs straight in front of you. If you're going to do something torquey, then right, you got to bend yourself over. just like this guy did.
Because I feel like this is going out. That's not okay.
Right. No, that's not what you're saying. It's not your hip that's going out because your hip is the bone. Your pelvis is shifting. What you're saying is you're allowing your pelvis to shift over that side instead of keeping your pelvis directed over the hip joints. If you keep the pelvis over the hip joints, it's like this. If you're allowing, this is the pelvis moving. It's not my hip joints moving. It's my pelvis is reorientating over. Keep your pelvis orientated over the hip joints. The purpose of keeping your hands to hug the leg is so that you take the whole trunk with you. So you get the experience of moving in the hip joint and not the back. Because what most of you want to do is, everybody do it, allow the leg to move away from you, and now reach down for your leg, and what do you do in your back? So you use your back. Okay, so then you don't use the hip joint, you use the back. So it's learning how to use the hip joint and not worrying about the back. Is that clear? Okay, let's go to the other leg. Let's see how the other leg is. Hug it. See if you can kiss your knee. It's a nice knee. Pivot on the heel. Pull the toes up. Slide away from you. Straighten your leg out here. Straighten your leg. This one. No, this one. Yeah, see, you went way out here. You were like this with your lower leg. You did the same thing. Uh-uh. Do it bad. You did... Okay, you do it bad. You did the same thing you do in running. You did that. Oh. Pay attention. That's it. Bring the leg. Teach the leg how to be in front of you. That's it. Teach that knee how to be in front of you. There you go. That's it. It's getting easier? Clearer? It will stick out. It may take years for it to stick out because it's taken it years to be under in my dreams. Well, that's why I say hallucinate, right? That's always my fallback. Hallucinate. If you ever go to any kind of like a yoga or exercise class, or you've watched a video and you see people that are highly, what we call highly flexible in this way, this is what they're able to do. They are able to get the sit bones back and bend so far in the hip joint that they can then elongate their spine. If you're not able to do it in the hip joint, you'll never get it in the spine. It won't happen. Exactly. Okay. Rest. So what happens is most of you, I mean, this is the irony, most people are tight, but this is my belief system, is that most people are tight in their buttocks, their hips, their hamstrings, not from the activity in running. In fact, thank goodness they're out trying to run. But because we sit. And probably the worst invention, at least in my mind, is chairs. We used to squat. We used to sit on the earth. We did all the things that we had to stay highly functional. And over historically, as we designed these comfort creatures or whatever, it's restricted us in our own use of ourself. It inhibits us. So that's where you get tight, is when you're sitting at the computer. And then you go out and try to run, and things are so tight that then you injure yourself in the running. But it's not the running that injures you. You got tight somewhere else. And often it's in the sitting. Does that make sense for everybody? And we sit in the car, we sit at desks, we sit on couches, you know. We sit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or you know what you could do, what I do is I have a laptop and I'll put it on my Feldenkrais table. So I will get on my, I can sit on the floor. My Feldenkrais table is only 14 inches up. So I sit on the floor. Or the other thing is you can get these big balls, which are great. And I, when I'm sitting at the desk, I sit on a ball. So I can roll around and move around. So there's ways to work with it, you know. But, because, you know, we got to use the technology, but it's how to use it in the best way. Okay, come back up again. And this time, you're going to wrap your arms underneath both knees. So your knees and your ankles and feet are glued together. Okay? And really hug them so that your hands can get a hold of the elbows. So that means your right hand goes under, left, do your best. That's fine. Now be nice, Kathy. This is not a bashing ground in here. Pivot your feet so your toes are up. Okay, and start to slide both legs, keeping the knees and ankles together. So you only go as far as your whole trunk can go with you. And then you slide back. That's right, that's good enough for you. So that's his first approximation. Everybody has their first approximation. Good, Janice. So see, what you do is you stop at the perfect place. I can always tell when I've worked with people because they're getting brilliant. So right there is when you stop in the mid-back, and then you start to do stuff up here. So it's like, what can you let go and do more and more and more and more in here? Uh-huh. And even more. See, this is why you have to be careful about them wanting you to straighten your legs so soon in yoga. Because if you do it in a way that's going to hurt you, it's not going to serve you. That's better. That's better. There. That's better. Now try to go a little further. That's better. That was better. Yet often it's easier this way. Do you know why? Well, it forces you to actually be more in the center of your hip joint. The constraint makes you do it more accurately. But a lot of you like to really go off the center of your hip joint because you think it's the place to be. Your body does. I know intellectually you don't. But your body thinks, oh, it's more comfortable out here on the side. But you don't get the same degree of the angle of movement. So when you put a bigger constraint, it forces you to do it more clearly. And it's actually easier when you go over the two legs. Your hips like to move where they're designed to move. They don't like going around the outskirts of the area. They want to bend right over where they're designed to bend. Okay, rest on your back. Yeah, you might feel some discomfort because things are stretching out in a way that... So this is one of the movements that'll be in your hand booklet that you'll see that is a way to lengthen out the hamstrings, and it's also helping your lower back too. You are elongating the lower back, but in the way that you should be elongating it, in the sense that the spine is actually in its natural curve. People often think if they're flexed, they're elongating the spine, but they're not really elongating it. They're actually shortening it to try to think of lengthening it. I don't know if that makes any sense, but. Well, your back's not straight if you're bending over like this. And often people think, oh, this is going to stretch out my back, but it's really not. Elongation is the ability for length to happen evenly distributed along the spine with the natural curve staying there. So anytime you take the spine out of the natural curve, there's going to be some shortening and contracting, right? So as long as you, so it's okay to flex, but you're not going to get elongation with flexion. It's okay to extend, but you're also not going to get full elongation. So this bending through the hip joint keeps the spine in its neutral place where the natural curves are to be. So you actually get, it's like traction, elongation. Yes. Yes, the same thing. And you know what they tell you often to do, at least the class we go to, is scoot your butt back to get off. And so that's another way of getting off the sit bones, is like this duck idea. Because you've got to get off the sit bones to go forward. If you're on the sit bones, then that's how you can blow out a disc. Okay, bring yourselves back up again. Come back to the sitting position where your legs are elongated out in front of you and you lean on your hands behind you. Spread the legs apart and go back to this movement of rounding, softening the chest, coming forward with the chest, feeling how the weight comes off the hands. So as the chest expands and you grow tall, the weight should lessen on the hands, yes? Is that getting available? That's nice, Jean. Good. Okay, so Alan, now what all you're doing is swinging forward. This is where you lose things. You're better. So bend, I don't care how much you bend your knees. See, this is where I have a problem with worrying about the straightening of the legs for you. It's because you so much straighten the legs that you stay in this. That's better. Do you feel that? Get the pubic bone, that's it. So the other place is start to become aware of the pubic bone. And the pubic bone is coming forward and arcing down at the same time as the tail's coming out and being exposed. Whenever you're tired, rest. Yeah? Clear? Not clear? Okay, now can you bring your right arm up in front of you and the left hand on your waistline where your pelvis is? And as Linda's doing, begin to round yourself back. And as you come up, reach with the right arm and feel what the left does. Ha! The left elbow goes behind, right? Magically. So reach with the right and pull the left elbow behind you. That's it. Keep the hand there, though. Deborah, your hand doesn't move. Uh-huh. Good. Now, when the elbow comes behind you, feel what happens in the shoulder blade. The shoulder blade should squeeze and come back towards the spine. So it's the whole idea of that movement. The other one. So it's your left elbow. As your left elbow comes back, Alejandro, the shoulder blade should slide over towards your spine. And if it's not, then you imagine it happening. We're back to hallucinating. Okay, tired, rest. I know, it's tiring. It's tough stuff. Anne, you okay? Okay, just rest then for a couple movements. So also in your booklet, one of the things that I put in there is some of my resources. And one of the resources is this guy, Serge. I can't pronounce his last name, so I won't. But he's a Canadian. And he did all this research. He wrote a book called The Spinal Engine. And his premises was, can people that lose their legs, in a sense, be mobile? Can they propel themselves forward? So he took people that got their legs amputated off, and sure enough, the pelvis actually can walk and the spine can walk. And so he did all this research about functioning of the spine and how people with back injuries could learn from this kind of idea of the mobility of the pelvis and the ribs and the spine and the shoulder girdle, but that you really don't need legs to propel the self forward. So it's interesting. It's difficult to get a hold of his information, but I have it on there in case anybody's that interested.
I have a friend who is the last person in Germany born with that thalidomide. He has no legs in his feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, his mother
So I had to take off his legs. Okay, come back up to sitting. Same way, except we're going to change over the hands. So reach forward with your left hand, please, and place your right hand on your waistline. And getting this idea that as you round, actually the elbow of the right elbow comes forward as you round. And then as you reach forward with the left arm, the right elbow and shoulder blade squeezes back. Again, your feet, your legs should be spread apart. So if you keep your legs together, it's too much work. You have to have room for the pelvis and the belly. Okay, now some of you, keep on going. Some of you are moving too far forward in space this way. Okay? And again, that becomes a lot of work in running, because we want to be pretty much upright. So you are moving some flexing, extending, but you see how I stay more upright over myself? So it's the experience that you're going to get more tall. I don't want you swaying back and forth. There's two ways to flex around. So look at my head, look at my pelvis. Okay? They're right on top of each other. This way, I'm just leaning back. Now my head's way far away from my pelvis. It's going to take a lot of work to get here. This is not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is that you round on top of yourself. Do you see my head relative to my pelvis hasn't moved behind me at all? You see that? So now my head and my pubic bones drop down, but I'm not going forward and back like this. You move on top of yourself. So it really means, see, if you're not able to really round in the pelvis, what you do, you'll lean back. So you want to curl the tail underneath you and let your spine curl back, but your head stays right on top of you here. And then you get tall, but your chest comes forward. Does that help me sitting up here? Good. Is that? But see, I like you doing it in a way that's not serving you, so you understand that too. That's better, Danielle. You've got some constraints, so you're a little different. That's better, Kathy, but less going back. Shrink without having to lean back. That's another way of saying shrink without having to go back so far. That's better. Then get tall. That's it, Deborah. Okay, rest on your back. Did that help? Do you see the difference? Did you feel the difference between leaning back and... Exactly. And let's come up again to sitting. Bend your knees so your feet stand in front of you. And let's go back to hugging the right knee only. Hands go underneath the knee. Right hand gets a hold of left elbow. Left hand, right elbow. And just in the beginning, see if you can stick your butt back. You know, scoot it back. Get off the sit bone from the get-go. There you go. Okay? Pivot onto the right foot so the toes are up. And start to slide the heel away from you. Take the whole self down. Just see what that's like now. See if anything's changed from the first time of trying it. See if something's a little clearer or easier. Good. Now, can you bring the leg back up to standing? And can you place the hands now interlaced around the arch of your right foot? So now this, in a way, forces the knee to be right up in your chest, right? So glue yourself, your knee and your chest together. Start to slide the heel away from you in this configuration. If it's too hard, you can rest. Good, Deborah. Good. Okay. And everybody rest. Go ahead and lie down and rest. Okay, and one last time, come up to sitting. This time you're going to hug your left knee. Start with hugging the knee and sliding the foot away from you. Scoot the butt bones back. So from the get-go, you stick your butt out like a duck. Well, really the head should stay, that's good, stay out over yourself. Because dropping it totally down can shorten the neck. That's it. Good. Very good. That's it, Richard. Two Richards. Good job. Now, can you place the hands below the arch of the foot? And lengthen the leg out. It's okay if you can't. It's more important to stay with the knee if you can't do the arch of the foot. It's fine. And remember to slide the leg straight out. So your knee's not going out to the side. Because then that means if your knee goes out to the side, that you don't want to really, you're not bending over your hip joint, right? That, the other leg? It's okay. Good. Now, can you go back one more time to hugging both knees and slide them out together? And some of you, if you get to the place where your feet can go all the way, what you can do is stay down there and then see if you can actually lift the right heel away from the floor. Yeah. And what that engages is the calf muscle. We haven't even gotten to the calf. But if you want to, I want to provide that for you. So once you've elongated the hamstrings comfortably, which attach up into the buttocks, down to the back of the knee, the next place that you need to learn to elongate is the calf. It happens to be my zone. So that means you get to the place as far as you can, and that's right. You lift one heel at a time. It's like imagine that you're going to kick something away from you. So stop right there, Danielle, and see if you can lift up the right heel and straighten the leg. You feel it then? Yeah. And then you put it back down, and then you try the other leg. It constricts, yeah. But push this heel. There. And we're back to, when you do that, you're back to locking the leg. Locking the knee again. That gives you the sensation of being over the high point, but you're on the floor now. Taking yourself into the same place. Okay, go ahead and rest on your back. So just take a moment to really rest on the floor. Check in with how you're lying on the floor now, what's changed. Check in with your breathing and the four parts of the breath. Notice how long your inhalation is, how long the pause is, how long the exhalation is, and then how long the pause is. So eventually, the inhalation and exhalation will begin to be very close to one another in length. And they should be significantly longer than the pauses. But again, whenever something's difficult, we hang out in the pause phase. Okay, so what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to come back up to standing, and we're going to pair up with our partner, and we're going to go through the bending over and finding the high point and that kind of stuff. So just take your time to roll to your side and bring yourself up. Pushed it. This one, right?